I did about this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for this Sunday through class, Father. And we thank you for personal people that, you know, offer us their testimonies.
Yes.
We just thank you for your word and your love. Let our hearts be open to whatever you have to say in this Sunday school class, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
I turned it off. As soon as I walked in the door, it was like, son of... Okay, alrighty, alrighty. Praise the Lord. How's everybody today?
Great.
Doing good. What a gorgeous day.
Huh?
Gorgeous day.
It is a beautiful day. It's Julie's birthday, and with Julie, it's like a whole week, so I didn't do a lot of studying. No, I'm just kidding.
I heard that celebrate since Friday.
Oh, just since Friday, and her birthday's today.
Yeah.
29, yeah. 29 and feeling fine. Okay, so anybody want to bring anything out of Psalm 78? I just have one thing, and it's back to what Deb said last week. It just got me thinking.
What?
77, I'm sorry, 77. Anybody have anything that, I think we finished 77, but... the one thing that I wanted to kind of say before we get to the 78 is, unless you all have something to say, you can take the whole class if you all want to keep talking about 77. But when Isaiah was touched on the lips by, really, the Lord, that was taken from, those coals taken from the altar. I just really felt the Lord saying that we are those coals. You know, we are those stones, but we are those fiery, hot coals that help others consume the hay, wood, and stubble, and that we are that coal, and we are to be that coal that God can pull off the altar and use any way he wishes. And there may be someone that... You know, and that's not, of course, through condemnation. That's not through any of that. It's through just basically the love of Christ and loving on people. And sometimes, you know, that love that Buddy was talking about in the prayer is a convicting love. And there's nothing wrong with conviction, but there's a lot wrong with condemnation. Convicting love's going to bring you closer. Condemning might chase them off. So anyway, I just really thought that as when Debbie brought that we were the stones, those living stones, because that was the definition, you know, the root word of that word coal, those coals, that I just, you know, we talked about us being ministers of flames or.
Flame of fire.
And how we, you know, can be, you know, used of God as those coals. Because once those coals touch Isaiah's lips, he was changed. He was not the man he was before. And there was a Holy Ghost boldness that came over him that basically he could do anything that the Lord told him he could do. You know, he was in the Old Testament and there wasn't Jesus walking the earth yet, but he said, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so those coals, we can bring that hope, you know, bring all the things, you know, that the Lord is to others by being those coals of fire that were taken right off the altar. What's the altar? That's where the sacrifice was made. Yes.
He uses us as igniters to really ignite, you know, Christ and just ignite a hunger and, you know, in others. And, and to look upon you and see the Christ and desire,
yes,
that which is flowing forth.
Mm-hmm. And you can see it in your life. You know, like there's this lady at work that I think I've mentioned before, I was an orphan and found in a crib, a corn crib, and they took her out with her brothers and sisters and took her to the orphanage. And so she was raised in an orphanage. and went to church all the time. But because I think of being an orphan, she had to make her own way, and so she could not fathom the thought of surrendering to this God that I can't see. How am I going to be taken care of? You know, and it's funny because this call, I've never been led to witness to her to kneel down and put her hand on the Bible and pray the sinner's prayer. You know, I mean, it's just been, usually it's, she's the one that brings it up. I just never been led to just be, you know, more overt in my witness. Anyway, she tells me last week, I've worked with her for over a year and a half. She tells me last week, she says, "You're not going to believe this." And I said, "What?" She says, "I seem to be praying about it every day. I've never done that before. What are you doing to me?" I said, "It's not me. It's not me at all. I had nothing to do with it at all other than just let the Lord work through me. But that's, it's all glory to Him. I did nothing. Zero. Had nothing to do with it." So anyway.
That's wonderful. See what you ignited in her?
Pardon?
See what you ignited in her?
I'll tell you what.
It's the Lord in your life, true, but.
I felt that the Lord shared this with me early on when I met her, that she's going to write it. Once the Lord gets full reign and that she's serving Him and that she's studying and whatever, I see a book. I see a book. I mean, a few years back, 10 years ago or something, she's now on their board at the orphanage, and she was interviewed, and they transcribed it, and I'm reading that. But I'm just reading it now. I'm on page 9. There's 40 or 50 pages. So, I mean, but I told her a year and a half ago almost, I said, when the Lord gets a hold of you, He'll probably inspire you to write about all that, your whole life, you know, because it's pretty. I mean, if you think you had a rough life because maybe you lost a parent or this, that, and the other, I mean, they have these cannons at the entrance of the orphanage, you know, and it's up in Xenia or somewhere, Xenia, Ohio or whatever. And you were not allowed to pass the cannons or you got in serious trouble. So they would sit on the cannons and they would watch families come in and say, is that my mommy and daddy, new mommy and daddy? Is this one going to be the ones that are going to take me out of here? And, you know, it's like, wow. And those of us who had unbelievably supportive, loving, caring parents, there's no way to even come close to imagining what it would be like to experience what she experienced and some of these other orphans experience. It just you can't. I mean, I've tried to put in there, no way. I can't say, wow, man, I just, you know, I'm amazed at what she went through to get to where she is now. But anyway.
My brother-in-law that just passed shared with us how he said it's a terrible thing to grow up without love. And his mom and dad were divorced. And then he was telling him he was 13 years old, hitchhiking from Florida back up to Ohio for his dad in Ohio. And he talked about the love that my mom and dad expressed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And even when my sister and him were not getting along and he wasn't even doing what he should be, how they still loved him.
Yes.
They never told him what they thought of, what he was doing. But he said how much he loved my parents because they really expressed love to him.
A lot of time love in the form of acceptance. I mean, even I think the story tells about Jeffrey Dahmer's mom. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I still love him. He's my son. You know, I hate what he did. What he did was wrong. He's getting what he deserves, but he's still my son.
That's unconditional.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else out of 77 as you look through it?
Lick your dick.
Pardon?
Lick your dick.
shoot your dick. I haven't heard that in a while.
Come that igniter.
We used to do that at the rock concerts. Back in the day. Okay, anything else? 77. Speak now, or forever hold your peace. Okay. All right, 78, man, this thing is really long, so honestly, I don't even know if we're going to get to verse 1, because I ran into something that, you know, how the Lord will give you a little morsel and turns into be a feast. That's kind of what happened here. So let me hold this up. What I'm going to do is just, if we even get to it, we're going to do like the first, or 12 verses. We'll just go through that. And then a lot of this, as you can see, is a history lesson. It's like the book of Acts in the Old Testament, you know, even though it's just a lot of references, mostly to Moses, and then we're going to talk, you know, about Ephraim. But it's just, you know, it's a how the Lord, generally speaking, it's the Lord did everything for them, and they may have appreciated for a minute or two, and then they start complaining again. Of course, we don't know what that's like, do we? So it's like God would do these miraculous things, and we'll get into that probably next week. But you know, all this stuff that's just miracle after miracle after miracle, that we would sit and be amazed at this stuff. I mean, knowing what we know and having all 66 books of the Bible, we would be amazed at this if we saw it with our own eyes. But they kept going back to, you know, well, it's, we want meat now, you know, we're tired of this manna, we want meat, you know, and you know, the rock's not supplying enough water, so whatever, you know, it's just amazing how, when it all comes down to it, hopefully we're better, you know, I mean, I hope we're growing to be better, but I think sometimes we fall into that too. I think Psalm 78 is the history of Israel. The history of Israel has been one long succession of miracles of mercy met by equally continuous ingratitude, which has ever been punished by national calamities back north then. But anyway, all right, so let's go to that first one. Does anybody have anything to say before we get into this? Okay. Mass chill. Do you see that? Yes. Is that on everybody's Bible? Okay. That interested me. So I started digging into that and found a gold nugget. You may hear things today. I'll be saying things today that you need to correct me if I'm out of line, because I've never heard it preached or anything. So I may be offline. So tell me if I am. But it's interesting to take that word and break it down. Even in your translation, thank you. You know, like in the expanded Bible, it says a maskil, a skillful psalm meditation of Asaph, parentheses, a Levitical musician, a descendant of Gershon at the time of David. So, I mean, yours may say something different, but that's, you know, that's what pretty much most of them say.
So the reflective poem.
Okay.
This says a literary or musical term.
Musical. 78?
Yeah, 78.
What's yours say?
It's a psalm of Asaph.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, when you dig into that word maskil, or maskil, I don't know which is the right pronunciation, it says it's a poem, it's a song or poem of contemplation. So something to selah. But the root is what's interesting. It says to be prudent, be circumspect, wisely understand, prosper, to look at or upon, to have insight, to cause to prosper. But then this next one is what got my attention. Cross hands. Cross hands. And of course, the first thing I thought of was Genesis 48:13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel, and toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, which was unheard of back in that day, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. The easier version says, but Israel crossed his arms and placed his right hand on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger. He put his left hand on the head of Manasseh, the firstborn. So, what it says there, crossed hands. It says crossed arms, but crossed hands. Okay, and so back in the day, Oscar did a thing on the 12 tribes, and then we did it again a few years back, and so we all know that Manasseh is causing to forget. He was the firstborn of Joseph, causing to forget. Ephraim means double ash heap, and I shall be doubly fruitful. He was the second son of Joseph, and he was the one that got the blessing. Back in the day, the blessing was something, you might have a better description of it, but it was like always the firstborn, and it was like that was a prestigious position to be in. And I think we saw it with Jacob and Esau, and now we're seeing it, we're not necessarily, it's God's plan that the firstborn always gets the blessing.
The only thing I wanted to say is that when Jacob did that, he was in the natural, he was blind. So his eyes were dim for old age, he couldn't see. So, and it talks there about Jacob, and it says, and Jacob's eyes were dim for old age or whatever, But it says, but Israel beheld him.
Mm-hmm.
Israel beheld him. And it was Israel who crossed his hands and placed his hands on him. Israel, Jacob's name is the deceiver, the supplanter. That's all of us before we come to know the Lord as our Savior. And Israel means he shall rule as God. So he, the name change and the nature change that took place in Jacob's life that changed his name from Jacob to Israel caused him to be able to see with the eyes of the Spirit, which should receive the right hand blessing and which should receive the left hand blessing.
And even though he was blind or whatnot, he still knew from which one who his son was, but Rachel kind of tried to play a trick, right? Yeah.
But see, the thing about when he brought the two children up there, he couldn't see which side either one of them was on. He didn't know.
But the Lord in him knew.
But he did know that the firstborn son always used to get the right hand blessing, because that meant he would inherit everything, and the other son had to be in subjection to the firstborn son, see. And yet he beheld him by the eyes of the Spirit and put the right hand blessing on him and the left hand blessing on him, causing him to forget. And he put it on the double portion. And if you come up into the New Testament, just take it one little step further. It tells us in Romans 8 chapter that he was the firstborn among many brethren. So if you're the many brethren, that means you're the second born. So what does that mean you're going to get? You're going to get double portion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's good. Well, there was something that kind of troubled me a little bit, so I kind of looked into this. And that was double ash heap. And I went, what? I want the double fruitfulness, but you can keep the double ash heap. So I started digging into that, and it's really interesting what came out of that. I have to go to Genesis 41:51 first. When Joseph named Manasseh and Ephraim, Genesis 41:51 says Joseph named the first son, the firstborn, Manasseh. Sounds, in this in parentheses, this is the expanded version, it says, sounds like made me forget in Hebrew. And said, God, this is so cool, God has made me forget all, this is Joseph speaking here, God has made me forget all the troubles I have had and all my father's family. Joseph named the second son Ephraim, related to the Hebrew word fruitful. And he said, God has given me children, made me fruitful in the land of my troubles, afflictions.
Grief.
Yeah, he had some of that, didn't he? But I love this, where Joseph said, God has made me forget all my troubles that I've had all my father's. So all his troubles that he had with his family, but then all the troubles he had outside of his family. So all his troubles.
This
all means that, all. Huh?
This one says, all my troubles and everyone in my father's family.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the family and out of the family, just everything. And that's, you know, let's see, Lord giving me some direction here. Because this is really good. But I'm going to go ahead and go back to...
Can I say one more thing while you're still on that?
Yeah.
Causing me to forget. Up in the New Testament, it tells us, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ
yes.
Jesus. And the thing that we have to forget is all of the things of the past, and we press on into Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, that even goes along with what went on back there.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to read it the way the Lord gave it to me. You must first be willing to cause to forget your troubles. That's got to be first. Okay? So don't even think about double fruitfulness or double portion or whatever until you first do this. This is, the firstborn was Manasseh. So there's a reason that he was firstborn, but there's a reason that Ephraim got the blessing. Am I confusing everybody at this point? Are we all with me here? Thank you. Okay. So to cause forget your troubles. Okay. And that means everything from up till now in your life, the one that wronged you, the one that caused pain for you, the one that Or the suffering you've done that has been caused by sickness, by fear, by anything. I mean, everything that you would define as trouble, if you were just to list them from the time you were born until today, the 28th of February, Julie's birthday. Anyway, so, you know, if you could list them, if you could list them and you could forget about them, now we're going to talk about this word forget because it's an interesting word. Then and only then, you can put them on the ash heap. And that's what he showed me. He showed me, yeah, it's a double portion of the ash heap. So take all your problems, throw them on that ash heap. An ash heap is something's been consumed, okay? So once it's been consumed, what is it? You know, in your fireplace, you can burn a fire all day long, and you can't even carry all the wood in. You can't even carry it all in that could burn all day long. It's not possible. You're not strong enough, and you can't put enough logs in your hand to do it, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But you can burn for weeks and not have to clean up the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes all these problems and makes them into nothing. I mean, all these big, gigantic problems become nothing. I mean, we don't burn a lot of fires, but I mean, I usually wait until the end of the season to clean out the ashes. But we burn, I don't know if you took all the wood, I don't, it'd be a lot of wood.
Well, look, the human body, when they do a, what do you call it?
Cremation.
Comes a little.
Rich, before you get into all that, can I just read some of these words that under toil, things that are included that go on the ash heap?
Mike, could you, so we can make sure to get it on the CD?
This is out of the Strong's, and it's a definition for toil. Wearing effort, worry, whether of body or mind, grievance, iniquity, labor, mischief, misery, pain, perverseness, sorrow, toil, travail, trouble, wearisome, wickedness.
Wow.
All of that's going on the fire.
Wow.
On
that's
the fire.
A lot. That's a lot.
That's more than sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I believe there's a choice in all this. I believe you can, you know, the Lord, I love the word, it says the Lord will, and I'm going to get to that word too, made. The Lord, Joseph said, the Lord made me forget my trouble. I lost it here, but isn't that what he said? The Lord made me forget. Like, he makes you lie down in green pastures. You know? God will make you do stuff. Now, you can choose not to, and you can choose to be Jonah and go the opposite direction. But you know what? He still made Jonah do exactly what he told Jonah he was going to do, right? He made him because he had the fish come in and say, you know, you're out on Nineveh's shores now, and you got a couple of days walking, you're going to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I can't keep running because he's going to stay on me until I do what I'm supposed to do. So when you know, you can choose to wallow in self-pity. You know, which means you're not going to be putting it on the ash heap. You can choose to be unforgiving. And you're not going to put that on the ash heap. So you're robbing yourself of a double portion. You're robbing yourself of being double fruitful, which I think is the most important. You know, being double fruitful, I mean, go through the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Wow, don't we all want that? That's better than any riches, any mansion in Indian Hill, or anything else. There's nothing better than that. So, but you're the one holding yourself back from the double portion. That's what I'm saying. I'm the one holding myself back from the double portion. Because if you ever find yourself in self-pity, unforgiveness, fear, anger, bitterness, contentiousness, drive, all the things that we do not want any part of, but we entertain from time to time, if we choose to hang on to that stuff, we're never going to put it on the ash heap. And once we put it on the ash heap, guess what? It's like, Lisa, it's like someone says, okay, some uncle you never met in your life, you inherited a large sum of money. And all you have to do is come to the attorney's office and pick up a check. How long would, I don't think you'd be in the shower, I don't think you'd be putting makeup on, I don't think you'd be in that car in 30 seconds flat driving to the attorney's office. I know I would. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. So the bottom line is...
I only need $5,000.
I was thinking a lot more zeros than that.
I'm just saying, I'm not being selfish here or being greedy here. It's $5,000.
But my point is, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And he wants to abundantly give you a... I mean, I'm thinking he wants to put a bunch of zeros, metaphorically speaking, into your account. And so what happens is... You know, we allow these stupid things, and again, I'm raising my hand because I'm as guilty as anybody, where we sit there and we allow these things to hinder. God's reaching out with this double portion, but he's not going to reach, his arm's not short, but it's not going to be long enough to reach to us until we get that garbage on the ash heap and burn it up, you know, get it burned up. There is nothing so important that you need to hang on to. I'm going to read them again. These are the ones he gave me. Self-pity, unforgiveness, fear, anger, bitterness, contentiousness, and strife. There is nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing that's more important than an open connection with our Lord and Savior. And all that stuff blocks. It's building up a wall. It blocks. And so the only way we can get that true intimacy, that true relationship, is to break those walls down, every one of them. Take them one by one. Do whatever you have to do, but they have to come down in order to get to that point. Philippians 3:8, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of how many things?
All.
He suffered the loss of all things. I mean, you read through Paul's story. Yes, he did. That's a true statement. And do not count them but poop, dung, that I may win Christ. I love the Amplified. Read the Amplified, Brenda, if you would, please. In fact, I hate to read this much, but it's so good. It's starting with verse 7. And just listen to this. Philippians 3:7, and go all the way down. Go all the way down to 11. And while she's doing that, okay, remember I told you I was going to tell you about this word forget. Forget means fail to remember. I can't fail to remember what that person did to me. I mean, the guy that led me to the Lord ripped me off of $7,000. I can't forget that. Well, let's read a little bit further here. But out of one's mind, that's the key right there. Shouldn't even ponder it. Shouldn't even, if that thought comes in, you put up the shield of faith and you take that fiery dart down. That fiery dart has no place in here. And when you start pondering it and thinking about it and contemplating it and all those things, then that fiery dart is taking root into your brain. And that's not good. So it does, you know, forget means more than just I forget what I wore 3 days ago. Okay, that's not necessary. That's part of it. It's not necessarily what that word means. It says cease to think of or consider. You just choose. It's a choice. I choose not to let any of this enter my mind again. It's never going to get there again because I am building up the shield of faith that says, my God is going to supply all my need according to his riches and glory, and I'm not going to entertain any of that crap. Okay? And that's what it is. That's what Paul called it. Go ahead.
But whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as lost compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more and deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win, gain Christ, the anointed one. You want me to go further?
Yeah.
And that I may actually be found and known as in him, and not having myself achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the laws, demands, and ritualistic unrightness and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more and deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in hope that, if possible, I may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Then it goes on to say,
that's a mouthful, right?
Yes, yeah, it then it goes on saying how I press toward the goal to win the supreme, you know, in Christ, calling in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
That's a lot.
Boy, it sure is.
But when
boy,
you think about it, that's what we're walking out right now.
Yes.
I mean, every bit of this is exactly what we're walking out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm. If we learn to praise God in all things, mm-hmm. the good and the bad, mm-hmm. it also helps. I mean, that will.
Because he's in control.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let you praise him for all the bad that's happened in your life. Because that's what brought you to where you are today.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All the bad things that's happened that you think are horrible or been ripped off and just everything. All that has brought you to where you are today. Mm-hmm. So we got to thank God, praise God for all these things.
Yes, amen.
You know, you're right. And I can remember as a baby Christian, there was three or four of us did a little home group. And these were people that just got, we all got saved like right at the same time, all of us except for one. And he was kind of leading the home group. And it was like some of these guys at the radio program, you know, I'm hoping and praying that everything they're doing is of the Lord. And if it isn't, they'll learn just like I did with this story here. It's like, so here we are, you know, we're meeting and everything's great, and then we get this wild idea, let's start a church. You know, and here we are, a bunch of immature, except for one, but he was also probably not ready either, apparently. But here we are, we're like going around trying to find a place to start a church. Everywhere we went, and I praise the Lord for this, everywhere we went, a big stop sign, big red stop sign. And we couldn't, if we were millionaires, we couldn't even bought our way through, even in spite of, you know. So everywhere we turned, we went to a Seventh-day Adventist church because they only meet on Saturday. We thought this is a perfect place to have a Sunday worship. They said no. You know, this place said no. Everybody said no. And I mean, I'm just praising the Lord now because I look back and I go, Lord, you're right on. You are right. You knew exactly what would have happened if you had done that, because we were too stupid to figure it out on our own. You know.
He set up all the little ambushes.
So he figured it all out, and he said, nope. Yeah, they could try and learn some lessons, but I'm not letting this happen. And praise God, he didn't. You know. And so he knows what he's doing.
He sure does. I think it's funny, too, because thank goodness I don't have anything major. No, I probably will. But like catastrophic or anything happening in my life or anything, you know. But it's like, it's this mind game that I like to play with myself and the Lord. And it's funny because I always can tell when it's unsettling, certain things happen. I start eating or something. It's like there's an unsettling decision that needs to be made. And I kind of sabotage my diet or do something, and that's when I realized it's like, okay, let's start really praying about this because, and people I think, and it's funny and I love it, Charles Stanley's really good about it, and he says, it's never just a yes or a no answer. It's, wait, And because we don't have any patience, I was cleaning a lady's house yesterday, and she said that my back was killing me when I was trying to clean her tub and stuff, and said, I really need something, please. And she goes, I said, your husband gave me something or whatever, and she just started busting up, and she goes, you have the patience of a you know, it was like, I know. She's like, my goodness, give me 2 seconds, please, to look for it.
Oh, the opposite.
It was the opposite. I'm like, oh, forget it. I said, you know what? I'll use what you've given me already. And she's like, relax. She goes, let me just look in my husband's cabinet and check. And she's like, you know, you have no patience. And I'm like, you know, I want to get this stuff done. I want out of here. And, you know, and it was just kind of funny. But my point is that it never fails that when I have to try and make a decision or feel like I need to make a decision, you know, the Lord always reminds me and always thinking of the present. I'm like, Lord, it's your, you know, you have to answer these for me, because every time I make a decision, it's always wrong. And he's always telling me every time, same thing, there's a roadblock. You're not ready. And this is what I keep hearing. You're not ready. Thank goodness that I can actually hear something. Because I'm so going everywhere. It's like, slow down, lady. You know, like, you need to just chill out, listen to what I'm saying, and just wait. It hasn't been long enough. And I'm thinking, thank you. Because when I don't, I make these stupid decisions, and next thing you know, I'm in financial trouble or you know, whatever. I didn't accomplish what I wanted to, and that's, you know, get rid of that credit card or whatever. And it's just, I love it, because if you just listen, it's not always a yes or no answer. It's, wait, be patient. It'll come. Just.
Lisa, one thing that you said, I don't even know if you really got the gist of what you were saying, just resonated with me. It's like you were saying, you didn't say this to this lady, but in your heart you were saying, I just want to get done. I want to get out of here. That's the way we feel when we're in the middle of a trial.
Yeah.
You know?
I want out of here. And I've been here too long cleaning your house.
Our natural inclination is, do something to get out of this mess.
Get done.
Do something. Get done. But you know what? God is saying, wait. You're not ready yet.
Yeah.
And the last thing we want to do when we are in the middle of a trial, a spiritual trial, is to wait and do nothing. And that is usually what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And all of this activity, well, I'll do this, and if that doesn't work, I'll do this, and if that doesn't work, you know what? You're going to do and do and do and do and do, and you're going to have to go back to grade one and start all
over
again.
You know what it is? It's a bunch of doo-doo.
Yeah. And you know, if there's one good one, I mean, I don't even want to brag, but one thing the Lord is teaching me is, when you get that feeling, I gotta do something, shut your mind down.
Yes.
And wait. Because whatever you do that is not what God told you to do is the wrong way. Stop projecting into the tomorrow and trying to make it what you want it to be. And just sit and relax and know God is giving you his way.
Read Romans, the 5th chapter. It tells you tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So what was happening to you the other day was you was going through a place of tribulation. And that lady said to you, well, you haven't got any patience. Well, guess what? You'll keep going through places of tribulation until you learn patience. Because that's how you learn it.
Yes.
By going through those situations and by actually coming to a place where you give it back to the Lord. And then his love gets shed abroad in your heart. And you realize, okay, Lord, you're patient with me. I have to be patient with these other situations and circumstances.
What comes after patience?
Please?
What comes after patience?
The love of God shed abroad in your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, read it. Romans 5th chapter. Starting up around, I think, the first.
Therefore, being justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the place wherein we stand and rejoice and hope for the glory of God. The first verse?
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead. It says, not on this, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, experience, and experience hope. And says, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Well, a lot of times the word for hope, a lot of times, is the word that means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. So that tribulation is going to make you begin to anticipate with pleasure what God's going to do.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking of the analogy of you buy something and you need to put it together and you don't want to look at the instructions. So you, I'll put it all together, and then you get it all together and it's
wrong.
Well, what's this part go to?
Well,
you know, you got extra stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you read the instructions, you don't have extra stuff. You don't have all that extra weight.
Comes out right.
And you'll have to tear it all back down again and try and redo it the right way.
I will qualify that. I had an next door neighbor who was a technical writer, and I offended her about four or five times. Because, you know, most of the time when you get instructions from a technical person, when they do a technical writing person, they get paid by the word. So they put about 900 more words in there that need to be put in there. You know,
yeah.
What you have to do, you got to go through and try to pick out what you actually need to do. And it makes the instructions way more complicated.
Sounds
than
like the IRS.
You know. I told her that a couple of times. And she says, well, you know, she gets mad at me. I didn't know the first time I ever said that to her that she was a technical writer before she retired.
Oh, that's okay.
The room of eight, you said?
Five. And then, of course, this scripture through the J.B. Phillips has always been a favorite of the radio program that we're on. And that is, first verse talks about, you know, servant of Jesus Christ. Says,
what is the scripture?
James 1, very beginning, says, in J.B. Phillips, it says in parentheses before we even get started, the Christian can even welcome trouble.
Yeah.
Now, let me know when you get there. I want to sit with
Peter
you.
Peter says
and
we glory in tribulation.
Exactly.
Count it all joy when you fall into
trouble. Yeah, but then that's what I'm getting ready to read. It says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers.
Yes.
Don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Why? Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of, it says here endurance, but we know what endurance is.
Patience.
But let the process go on. Thank God it's a process. Until that patience or endurance is fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? When we're impatient, God's going to throw stuff in our way to keep testing it and keep trying us. And, you know, it's all good, because look what happens when we finally become fully developed in this. And you will find you have become men of mature character, with the right sort of independence. Don't you want the right sort of independence? Oh, man, I do. That's true liberty in Christ right there. That's true freedom. Okay, a couple quick things, and then we'll adjourn you real quick. I want to, just because it fits into this. It says, God made me forget all my troubles I've had. Joseph said that, right? Okay, the word made is, God is bringing into existence by shaping or changing us. Okay, that's what that word made means. It says to cause, to be, or become. So if God's making us do something, let me tell you something. it's a good thing, because it is shaping us and changing us to be exactly what he wants us to be. And that word troubles is difficulty or problems, and I love this because it's so true. Anything that causes distress or anxiety. Synonyms of troubles: worry, bother, concern, disturb, upset, agitate, distress, perturb, annoy, or irritate.
I'm all of the above.
Not anymore. Remember, we're going to confess speaking to those things. I just walked by.
Are as though they are.
So I'm going to end with this, and then if anybody else has anything, we should have a couple minutes. Paul says, like an artist, 1 Corinthians 10:15. I, like an architect who knows his job, by the grace of God has given me, he's laid the foundation, someone else builds on it. I always say this, let the builder be careful how he builds. The foundation is laid already, and no one can lay another, for it is Jesus Christ himself. Let any man who builds on the foundation using as his material gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, we already know what's going to happen if it's hay, wood, and stubble, must know that each man's work will one day be shown for what it is. The day will show it plainly enough. For the day, this is 1 Corinthians, what chapter is it?
It's 10 through 15.
I'll bring it back next week. But anyway, it says, for the day will arise in a blaze of fire, and that fire will prove the nature of each man's work. If the work that the man has built upon the foundation will stand the test, he will be rewarded. But if the man's work be destroyed under the test, he will lose it all. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, it's okay that you lose it all. But let's do it God's way first and not try to do it our way and lose it all. It says, he personally will be safe, though rather like a man rescued from a fire. If you are trusting in anything but your foundation, which of course is Christ, to stand and get you through life, stop. Okay, anybody have anything?
Praise God.
No, we didn't even get through verse 1. Sorry.
That was great, though.
Chapter 3.
All right. Thank you.
It's basically the part about, you know, if it can be burned, let it burn. You know, if there's something in me, Lord, that can be burned, you're a consuming fire, just consume it. Back to what we started with, those ashes. You know, let's put it on the ash heap. And let's go for the double portion, double fruitfulness of, what is it, joy, peace, I'll mess it up, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, what else? What's in, else is in there?
Meekness,
temperance, is love in there?
Yeah.
Patience. And self-control.
Self-control. You got them all written down there?
I'm working
read
on
them.
That.
Just go and read them.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. And then this was from a Bible study that I did, and it said, and there was a word that describes, it says, love never fails, joy comes, peace rules, patience waits, kindness tenders. Like chicken.
Tyler likes that.
Goodness does. Faith fights. Gentleness
bows.
Bows. Gentleness bows. And I do go to the last one, so I don't know.
Self-control.
I don't know what self-control does. Maybe I don't want to know.
Since you have the microphone.
Father, we just thank you for your words, for truly coming through tonight, and we just ask you, Father, to just let all those words sink down into all of our hearts and let them become a part of us, for truly it is transforming us. mind for mind, precept for precept. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.